This episode is brought to you by Visit Ithaca. Ithaca, New York boasts an authentic craft beverage experience, tasty farm-to-table culinary adventures, and scenic outdoor recreation among 150 waterfalls. Plan your trip today with help from visitithaca.com.
Hey, this is Hannah, HRN's program manager. It's HRN's 10th anniversary and now our summer fun drive. So show your support for independent, revolutionary, entertaining food radio by becoming a monthly recurring donor. HRN is powered by a passionate community of thoughtful eaters, and we need each and every one of you to show your support so that we can keep bringing you your favorite food podcasts. It takes a village, and every dollar donated, every listener tuning in is essential to our continued success. So set up a donation for $10 every month. You'll show us that you want to be a part of a bright future for HRN. And you'll get one of our brand new limited edition Pizza Pocket t-shirts. So snag your new favorite tea and show us some love, all for the price of about two fancy lattes each month. Go to heritageradionetwork.org/donate today, and thank you.
Yeah, it's time to go. We're starting.
Hey, everyone. It's me, Marissa.
And Adam.
And we're Natural Disasters.
That is us. That is us. Welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show. So first of all, the last 2 weeks we had like some audio issues.
Right, which we fixed. Not only have we fixed that, but we've improved.
Yeah, I think that we've improved. Sorry about that. But one of the episodes was like, Adam just like kind of like came through my door 2 weeks ago and was like, what's the deal with finishes? And I was like, I don't know. What is the deal with finishes?
It was like a very Kramer-esque moment.
Yeah, it was like literally you stormed in wanting to discuss finishes. So we had done a episode on just finishes, but we decided what might be more fun is if I brought in a blind bottle of wine and instead of just doing...
Wait, not the... Not like sight impaired. It's blank. There's no
yeah,
labels.
There's a label on it. Okay.
There's no labels at all.
Yeah, okay. It's just a wine with no label on it. Yeah. Adam doesn't know what it is.
No.
I
can see the bottle shape though, which I wonder if that is whatever.
Okay. You know what? The point is that I have a bottle of wine that doesn't have a label on it that Adam doesn't know about.
Yeah.
And we decided what would be more fun is if we went through the Court Master Sommelier's deductive tasting format.
So Marissa and I, for everybody's listening pleasure, we are going to deduce using you know what it is. So you're gonna
We're going to be honest about it
and we're going to deduce what we and see what this is about.
Yeah, we're going to go through all of it in every sense of it because it's really intense.
There's a lot.
And then we'll give our opinions on
what we think about the tasting format.
Yeah,
not the wine.
Maybe the wine too.
But mostly about what we think about this deductive tasting format.
Yeah, totally.
And sort of...
It doesn't matter. We're going to do it.
Yeah. Is there value? Is there not value? Good, bad? Who knows?
Who's to say?
We'll find out.
Yeah, we're going to find out. So right now I'm pouring us our first glass.
So while you're doing that, so there's a couple sections. There's the sight section, the nose section, two palate sections, an initial conclusion section, and a final conclusion section.
Bam, bam, bam.
And within each section, there's like, I don't know, between 5 and 10
subcategories. There's a lot of stuff. Yeah.
There's a lot. All right. So the first thing on here is sight.
So we're starting with our first section, which is sight.
So we're going to look at this.
And the first part of sight is...
I'm going to go out on a limb and say it's red.
Yeah. Okay. But you're skipping ahead. First is clarity slash...
Wait. The first thing we...
Oh my God. Okay.
All right. Clear, hazy, turbid.
We need to start over.
No. Let's go.
Okay. First of all, we're starting on sight.
Okay.
And the first thing on sight is clarity slash visible sediment.
Okay.
Now, the options that are on this thing are clear, hazy, or turbid?
Hazy a little bit. I mean,
I would say hazy too. I mean, it's
slightly.
I would say slightly hazy.
I don't know what turbid means.
You know what? I don't know what turbid means either.
I'm going to look it up right now.
I think we should start over.
No, this is so good. We can cut this.
Please.
Cloud, it's haziness.
So then why say hazy and turbid?
I don't know.
Okay, whatever. All right, that will come later. I'm going to put an asterisk next to my I got an issue with this.
Yeah.
All right, so I think it's hazy
it's
or
between
perhaps
hazy, and clear. I'm going to put it in between the two. It's is a hazy clear? Clear. Yeah, look. Don't forget it's cold, so there's condensation.
It's cold, so there's condensation.
But yeah, there's some look at the rims. Like, I can see through it.
I say it's hazy.
Okay.
All right, so now you circle.
Concentration.
Concentration's next. Pale, medium, or deep? I think it's deep as fuck.
Could it be deeper, though?
Yes, it's like it's a medium deep.
So it's medium deep.
All right. So
deep, it put that line to sleep.
Deep. All right. And now color. The color.
it's definitely red.
I would say it's a dirty fucking garnet, but they just have garnet on here. So I'm going to go with garnet.
Yeah, I think ruby.
Ruby is so much brighter, though, bro.
I'm going to go ruby.
Fine. Secondary colors. Ruby's in the secondary color, dog. Well, I guess I would say...
All right, it's garnet and ruby. I'm
I think
gonna
it's
do
garnet
two,
and ruby.
But I'm going to do ruby garnet. You're going to do garnet ruby.
Yeah. And
rim variation.
Rim variation. So that means whether or not
is that
there's...
eating ass?
That would be the how many different ways you can eat ass.
Yeah, the rim variations.
The rim variations. This is whether or not the rim around
the
color.
Change color.
If it changes. And it does. It's a bit clearer and...
it goes from like a pink...
Yeah, it becomes a little bit pinker. So, yeah, there's...
Okay, there's rim variation.
There's rim variation. Hey, everyone needs a little rim variation
in
their
life. Can't do the same rim every time.
No. And then there's extract slash staining.
No, there's no... I think that's like... I've seen wines that will like... They'll,
I don't even
like,
know what that means.
Like Alicante Bouchette, you'll pour it into a glass and it'll like stain the bottle.
Gotcha.
Stain the glass.
Oh, yeah.
I think you're looking to see if it does any of that. And this does none of that. Zero.
Yeah, none of that. Okay, so cool. And then...
Tearing.
Which is so stupid, but we'll talk about
yes,
that
it does.
Later.
It tears quite a bit.
It tears. There's legs on
it. Is it light, medium, or heavy?
I think it's light. Or
I think it's pretty heavy.
I think it's medium.
Look at that.
I think it's medium.
I'm going to go medium heavy. Gas evidence. I have to look to see. Oh, to look to see if there's bubbles coming out?
Yeah, I think it's to see if it's going through secondary fermentation. And
or if it's a sparkling wine.
Or if it's sparkling wine. The answer is no.
Is there any gas evidence?
No. No gas. Not in this house.
No. Not especially not when there's rim variation.
No,
going on.
No, definitely not. All right, so moving on to the nose. So the first part of the nose section is whether it's clean or faulty. Now it goes through every single, or not every single, but it goes through a lot of the
TCA.
It goes through a lot of the faults, which is TCA. I don't know what H2S is.
H2S.
I'm sure, like we know what it is, yeah. But I don't know what it is.
Volatile acidity.
Ethanol.
Acetate. Brettanomyces, sorry, I keep...
Yeah, it doesn't matter, false.
All right, so let's smell. I mean,
yeah, it's got Brett on it.
It does have Brett. Is that a fault, though?
I mean, according to the Court of Master Sommeliers, yes, but according to me right now, no.
Okay. Intensity. Delicate?
You think this smells delicate?
Moderate or powerful?
I think it's moderate.
I think it's pretty powerful.
Yeah, but compared to like a Barolo?
Okay. I don't know. It's pretty powerful. I'm going to say moderate powerful.
I think it's moderate.
All right. Age assessment.
Youthful, developing, venous.
Venous. There's like, this is such pretentious words
this
on here.
This is such pretentious shit. Turbid, venous. Some turbid, venous. Gas evidence of rim variation.
Developing.
All right. So yeah. So it's either youthful developing.
Isn't everything always developing? Isn't that word always like when is something not developing? It's Trump's. They're getting ready for Trump's 4th of July.
Yeah. Everything. I mean, all wines are constantly developing, but are like not maybe not conventional wines though, because a lot of conventional wines are like so stocked full of.
So developing is a positive term, maybe.
Hard to say.
Like if you're drinking Santa Margherita Pinot Grigio, you don't want like it doesn't age. It
I
just
would say that
gets
yeah.
Worse.
I would say that developing is for wines that should be aged longer.
Okay.
And I think that Venice is like, it's done. I think judging by the nose, though, this is youthful. But I think that most natural wines...
It's developing.
I think it's youthful developing.
I don't know what the fuck that means. I'm sorry.
I think it smells fresh and that it could age. Good thing we're doing a video with this, because otherwise people were going to be like, what the fuck?
Now we get for fruit.
So we go into fruit.
We have...
So for fruit on the... They give you options. And so it's like red, black, or blue. On my first smell, I'm getting all three, honestly, because it smells like red cherries, a little bit of blackberries, and then like really ripe blueberries.
I'm like so on board with that. It does. It smells like 4th of July.
It smells like 4th of July, yeah.
And you know those cakes that people do where they use like raspberries as the flag and then they add blueberries for the stripes?
Totally.
It smells like one of those.
Yeah, it smells really good. It just smells really, it smells like summer, like just like summer berries.
And then the fruit character, ripe, fresh, tart, baked, stewed, dried, desiccated, bruised, or jammy.
Desiccated, another
I desiccated
word.
That rim variation.
Yeah, I'm going to desiccate all over.
They got a little bruised. This is like, are how many psalms are sexually repressed? Like,
I think, how many?
Or is it me?
No, I just think that everyone is sexually repressed in America, at least. I think this is both ripe and fresh and tart. So I guess all three, not both.
On the nose?
On the nose, yeah.
What does tart smell like on the nose?
To me, it gives me a little bit of just like tingly, acidy feeling, like if I smelled like a bag of Sour Patch Kids.
Okay, okay. Yeah, I don't get any of these stewed, dried, desiccated,
I'm not getting,
bruised,
no. It's very ripe and fresh and tart. So non-fruit, we got floral, vegetal, herbal, spice, animal, barn, petrol, fermentation.
I get fermentation, animal, and barn.
I get
spice.
Yeah, I get definitely animal and barn because of the Brettanomyces.
Brett.
But also too, spice, and it is still a little bit herbal. There's like a rosemary quality to it.
The fermentation I'm getting too.
And fermentation, yeah.
Which is like, it just smells like it's young. It smells very youthful.
Yeah. Remember when you said it was developing?
Well, because to me, it's like, this will continue to grow.
Yeah, and there's some spice
on
it.
So is that what developing means?
I don't know, man.
Or does it mean that it's got some age on it?
I don't know, man. We are in this together. Like, you're the one that took the classes.
I know. Well, no, I did the WSET, which
like,
is different than this.
Yeah. Well, literally my book starts with one sentence. It just says, I am not a sommelier. So it's like, come on. All right. So the earth options are forest floor, compost, mushrooms, potting soil. To me, the fact that they're just so limited, it's like, why are you limiting it to that? Because to me, I do get earth on here, but it's more like, it kind of goes more on the herbal way. Like the herbal and spice.
It smells like a desert. It doesn't smell like a forest. It doesn't smell like a forest floor. It smells like Joshua tree.
Yeah, it does smell like... I mean, if I had to pick one, totally.
So we're going to change this. It's not going to say forest floor.
It's
going
like
to say
floor.
Joshua tree.
Pew, pew, pew. Take that, Psalm. Oh, yay. Test.
Yeah. And then...
Mineral. All right. So for the minerals, they give you just mineral.
I don't...
Whetstone, limestone, chalk, slate, flint.
Other than flint,
I was gonna say I get a little bit of flint.
No, I was gonna say, but other than flint, I don't think you can actually smell any of these. I don't.
Oh,
think...
that's. Yeah, I guess you're right. I mean, I think you're correct in that. I don't know. Sometimes things can
like
smell
there's a
chalky.
Petrichor where it smells. Sometimes it smells like wet cement.
Yeah, like wet stone. Yeah.
But like other than that, like I don't like limestone. I guess chalk has a smell.
I think chalk definitely has a smell. Moving on, we got wood. No. None, old versus new, large versus small,
French
versus
American.
I think it's neutral.
So it's old and it's large.
And it's not
French or American.
I think it's...
I don't know.
It's neutral something.
Yeah, it's a new hybrid that we call...
neutral.
French American.
Just neutral. All right, next up.
It's finally. Weird there isn't an option for that.
Because they don't care about natural wines, dude.
But there's people who are conventional who use neutral barrels.
Not nearly as much as, or maybe we just don't like, or maybe you're supposed to know if the neutral is French or American.
Okay.
I'm probably not. I only do have one nostril, so it works with my deviated septum. So, and if I had both fucking nostrils, I would be
Rule
a power smeller.
All right.
All right, so moving on to palate. Thank fucking God we can finally drink it. All right, so let's drink it. I personally like to take three sips before I judge, so I'm going to do that.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Ithaca. Located in New York's Finger Lakes region, Ithaca boasts an authentic craft beverage experience, tasty farm-to-table culinary adventures, and scenic outdoor recreation. As the saying goes, Ithaca is gorgeous. The city is home to 150 waterfalls and gorges sprinkled through its downtown and sloping hillsides. State parks and acres of natural lands offer outdoor recreation for every level of enthusiast. Come stroll among the cool ravines, scenic hiking trails, and natural vistas. Ithaca is home to Ivy League Cornell University and Ithaca College, resulting in an influx of new cultures, new tastes, and new energy every year. There's so much to explore, from art galleries and museums to unique attractions like the Cornell Lab of Ornithology. Ithaca sits at the heart of a blossoming heritage and craft cider industry. Some of these delicious ciders can be bought in market, but many of the most unique varieties can only be experienced with a visit to Ithaca and this great cider region. Go to visitithaca.com to get inspired and plan your trip today.
All right. Okay. All right. Okay.
See, I'm always a first, like I go with my first impression, but then I want to.
All right. Hold on. I want one more sip, Dad. That I was calling you dog, but it came out like Doug.
Yeah, I know. Dog.
Da, da, da. All right. The palate. Okay. So in the palate section, the first one is sweetness. And the options are bone dry, dry, off dry, medium sweet, sweet, lusciously sweet. I think it's off dry.
Really? You get a little RS? I was just going to go dry because bone dry means...
Yeah, I guess you're right. It's,
if
it's
bone
dry
means zero sugar, yeah, dry yeah, yeah. must mean a little bit of sugar.
Yeah, I think
because you can't have dry and bone dry and they both mean...
No,
no,
I get
sugar.
No, I know. I think it's because I drank the three sips.
But I'm going to say dry.
I think you're right with dry.
I wouldn't call this an off dry wine.
It's not an off dry wine. I think that it would
I wouldn't call it a bone dry wine, though.
I wouldn't call it a bone dry wine either. Now, with fruit.
For anyone that doesn't know, dry doesn't. I know it's wet, but it just means sugar.
Yeah. So when you're talking about dryness, it's all about how much sugar is left in the wine.
I like my shit wet, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I like everything wet. Anyways, rim variations. So moving on to fruit. When it comes to fruit, the options for red
same
are...
Same as smells.
Yeah, red, black, blue. I am going to stick with...
It's a medley of berries.
Yeah, it's going to the farmer's market when you can get one of each in a three-pack, you
Yeah,
know?
Totally.
I'm going for
some
all
straws,
of them.
Some raspberries, some blues. I don't really like blueberries.
I'm not usually a blueberry person, but with this wine, I'm getting... Strawberry, blackberry, ripe blueberry.
Yeah, yeah.
Like the kind that are in pancakes, but that's the only time I like to eat those really ripe ones because usually I like my blueberries a little tartar. But,
yeah, I get what you're saying.
Okay. So, and then non-fruit characters, they give you floral.
We said ripe.
We skipped. Fruit character. Ripe, fresh, tart, baked, stewed. This is just the same shit that we did on the nose.
Yeah.
I think it's still the same.
There's a little bit of bruised jammy.
Yes.
A little bit.
A little bit.
And no dried or stewed, but it's got a maybe even
I
not
think
baked
it's,
either.
I think
but
it's,
got, it's
I think it's jammy.
Ripe. It's got ripeness.
It's ripeness. I mean, but the ripeness does lean a little jammy.
Yeah. Okay. And then non-fruit. Floral, vegetal, herbal, spice, petrol, animal, barn, fermentation.
I mean, again, I'm getting animal and barn. But a lot more...
I was like, where's the fruit? But it's because it's not under the non-fruit
we just
section.
Did it. I personally am getting like more herbal. It's like herbal and animal and barn.
Yeah.
And again, like fermentation.
Just ever so slightly.
Ever so slightly. And then for earth, we got, again, forest floor, compost, mushrooms, potting soil. But for me, again, this is more of like a dusty, dusty earth feeling.
Maybe that's
it's more
potting soil?
I don't think so because I work with a lot of potting soil and that shit's
moist.
Yeah,
that's like wet. That shit's wet.
Yeah, it
hella
is.
Hella wet.
I think this is, again, is like, this reminds me more of like dusty, like California mountainsides.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. Chaparral.
Yeah, totally.
I think that's what the area is, what it's called.
And then also too, that then goes into the minerality, which again is like, is whetstone, limestone, chalk, slate, flint. I'm getting dust.
chalk, I guess, then.
No, it's dust, dog. And then for wood, again, it's none, old versus new, yeah, large versus
exactly
small.
Yeah, exactly the same.
It's exactly the same. Old, large, I don't know. It's neutral, bitch. Unlike my opinions.
All right. Now we have another palette section.
Oh my God, this is exhausting. Why do people do this?
And they do it like exhausting. Oh my God. They do it with like 20 wines.
Can we just stop?
But I think that, no, we are almost done.
Oh my God. Right. We're so not even close to being
so
done.
So now there's a section that says white, so we can skip over that. Tannin for red. Fucking A, there's tannin in white wine, assholes. Like, there is tannin in white wine.
Yeah.
Why isn't it on there?
Oh, it's called skin contact, bitches.
Yeah, where's the tannic white wine?
Because I'm telling you, they don't care about us.
Oh, my God.
I'm teasing. Also, for the sommeliers out there that have been hearing me say that you guys don't care about natural wine, I know that some of you do, but also there's some of you that don't, so don't be mad. Like, there is a, you know, it's fine. Anyways.
Talking to you. So tannin, I'd say medium minus.
I was going to say medium minus as well.
Okay. Acid?
I say medium.
I was going to do the exact same. Medium, minus, medium. Alcohol.
Wait, are you doing medium minus again?
No,
doing
medium. I think alcohol is also medium.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, because
there.
There's nothing, it's there, but it's not hanging out on the back end.
No, it's not freaking me out.
Body? I think it's medium light, light medium.
Really? I was going to say medium full.
I think it's just
it's
medium.
It's got some texture. It's got some weight.
It does have texture, but that's...
Oh, there's a texture... There's a texture section.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So let's say medium.
I think it's medium. And then I think the texture is...
creamy.
I don't think it's creamy.
It's creamy.
I think the texture is...
It's creamy.
Oh my God. You and these... It's just like all lean. Comes back to rim variations.
It says lean. Are they talking about cough syrup?
I think... I can only hope because it does kind of have that quality.
It does. So I'm gonna
go with lean.
We're talking about cough syrup lean.
Yeah, and texture wise though, also too, for me it's like it's angular. Like there's something about
it's a triangle.
Yeah,
it's not a circle.
Yeah, it's angular because it like hits the front of your palate and then the top and then the back.
That's a triangle.
Yeah,
that's three places.
Fuck you. I know, man.
Isosceles.
Anyways, I'm gonna say
equilateral.
Oh my, angular.
Balance. Does any element dominate?
I think it's actually pretty well balanced.
I would agree.
I think that the bread of
it's that triangle we're talking. Yes. Talked about.
Yeah, it's hitting the front, the top, the back. I think that the bread of myces is a little strong, but it doesn't bother me.
For me, the bread is only on the nose. I don't get it that much on the palate.
Interesting. Hold on. I need a couple more sips.
It's very like, oh, it smells poopy and Barney, but then on the palate, it's very fruit forward. It's very ripe. It's really delicious.
Yeah, maybe I'm just like really, really sensitive to like to flaws. It doesn't bother me though. I think it's really juicy and delicious. Like I'm really enjoying drinking this wine.
Me too.
So overall, I think it's very well balanced.
I'm gonna say balance. Yeah,
I'm gonna say
length.
Well.
This is, ugh.
Okay. Ugh. Well, we'll talk about our issues with some of these things when we're done.
Does any element dominate the length or finish?
No, it's length
with
or finish.
Your rim variation.
So the length slash finish can be short, medium, minus, medium, medium, medium plus, or long. I honestly think that this has a medium plus finish. Like
I don't even know.
It's
I don't know what the fuck that means.
Okay, well, we'll get back to that.
But because like, what is the so what's a long finish?
We're not going to get, I know that the.
All right, I'm just going to put a giant line through it.
No, we'll come back to it. We're going to put the question, or we're going to come back to it, because otherwise we won't finish this tasting
if we start talking about finishes.
Right. So. I'm going to say this has a medium plus finish. Complexity,
I'm going to say it has the finish of
turbid.
Yeah.
A turbid gas assessment.
Yeah, it's quick little finish.
Complexity, we got low, medium minus, medium, medium plus, high.
Does that mean like you think about the wine? Is complexity talking about like how much you enjoy and think about it?
Write a question mark next to it.
I don't know what that means. I think it's a high complexity wine.
All right. Now, Adam, since I know what it is.
All right, I'm going to guess.
So on the section of this deductive tasting format, we have now come to the initial conclusion, which has the following things. It's first up is possible grape varieties, then old world, new world, climate, which they give you the options of cool, moderate, warm, possible countries, and then age range, which can go 1 to 3 years, 3 to 5 years, 5 to 10 years, or 10 years plus. So, Adam, You're going to have to give us your assessment since I already know what it
is. Do I mean to do my initial conclusion and then my final conclusion?
I think you should do your announce your initial.
Because it says possible grape varieties and then it says grape variety. Is the final conclusion what it actually is?
Yes, what it should be. Or what you think it is, maybe.
Well, I guessed what I, and then.
Okay, then maybe I can, okay. Well, then.
Right, I guessed, so it says possible grape varieties. I said Merlot, Syrah, or Pinot.
Okay.
It could be one of those.
Good work.
It could either be, I don't know. Because it hits all of the things that we talked about, all of those wines can get to. It might not be Merlot because it doesn't have any of the green.
But it actually does have some green, so I can see why you would think that.
Syrah, it doesn't have any of the pepper.
That's true.
So I guess it could also be Grenache, but I don't think so. And Pinot Noir. And then I definitely said New World, even though this wine has some Brett, but it's just a little too ripe, I think, for it to not be New World. I would be very surprised. Climate, because of the ripeness, I said moderate, maybe warm. And then possible countries, I put California because we're a country.
We are a country.
We're our own country.
We're
the fifth largest economy in the world. So
this is true.
I put California as the possible country. And then age range, I put 1 to 3 years. Because I still see there's some youth, but there could be some age on it. There could be maybe a 2 or 3 years of age on there. And then I'm supposed to do the final conclusion again?
I think maybe I'll just tell you.
Okay.
So what it was...
Oh, it says vintage. Okay. Oh, I think this is like a soft guess, and then this is like a hard
guess.
Okay,
then go for your hard guess, man.
So now I have to be like, okay. Because I said, this is possible grape varieties, and this one is what you
I think it's like,
think
this
is
when you take your last sip, you know, and it's all like...
Yeah, okay.
This is like when you're like, bump, 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 bump.
I'm going to just go with Merlot because that's what it tastes like to me. The bottle doesn't tell me that, though.
Yeah, the bottle says something else, yeah.
Country of origin, I'm still going to go with California.
I'm just drinking over here since I know what's up already.
Region or appellation, I'm going to say... can I just say Northern California?
Do you, man? I mean, I'm turning this into the master
quality. I think it's definitely a Premier Cru. No, I don't think any of these things exist because we don't have that in California. Vintage, I'm going to do 2018. What if I did 2019? Didn't even happen yet.
All right, Adam. Well, now that I get to grade your paper, sorry, bud. It was Pinot Noir.
Yeah, it makes sense. It's just ripe. It's just ripe for me.
It's a Sonoma Mountain winery.
All right, so I got Northern California.
Yep. Pinot Noir, 2018. So you got quite a bit of it ripe. You got a lot of it right. It is kind of ripe, and it does have like a lot of Merlot tendencies, and also too, like, he does make a Merlot. Not that you would know because there's no label on this, but good job, Adam.
Yeah, woo!
All right, so that's...
We're master sommeliers now. Fucking send us the pins.
Dude, we are
send
not...
Send us the pins.
We are not fucking master sommeliers. All right, let's go out... All right, now we can go through the ridiculousness of this.
The shit that I would remove from
okay,
here,
wait,
is
no.
That what
well,
we're doing?
Let's just give our opinion. I think that this is so limiting... And
boring.
And boring. Like this gives, and I understand why they do it because like this is literally a test that you're giving to someone. But the fact that like you have to like write all That's these, the, like this to me is like.
No, there's, the fact that you take something beautiful like this and you deduce it to this.
Is really upsetting because to me, I mean, like I said, I get like even in our sommelier, like our sommelier episode, like we talk about how it's so, you know, education's important. Like we're not against that at all, but this does not leave any room for
fun
or experimentation or like creativity. And it makes so much sense to me why so much wine, like writing and criticism, and then also how wine is sold and like how sommeliers talk. It's so boxed in.
Yeah. No. Literally.
Literally boxed in.
Boxed in. And also, like, what happens if you're drinking a wine that doesn't fucking do any of this, right?
Which like, a lot can.
Yeah, or, like, what if you're drinking a wine that is, like, full of faults and is sort of all backwards and stuff, and you're like, oh, this wine must suck. My paper says this wine sucks.
Yeah, it's
so
really...
So if I like it, what's wrong with me?
Well, and also, too, like, if you look at the... Like, the options are so...
But this might be... I don't know. Someone is going to have to... Maybe the farther you go, the more complex it gets. But even still, you're limited. Because maybe you get to write your own stuff eventually. And you don't?
Well, no, I don't think so, because I watched the GQ TV show. They have to like go through it like without a paper in front of them, where they're like,
and they say these words.
Yeah, and they're like, this is forest clear. Floor. It's a medium deep with purple and ruby, and you're like, okay.
Rim variation is wet.
My rim variation is turbid right now, but I would like it to be very, very creamy in the future.
And Venice.
Yeah, I'm Venice. I guess to me, this is such a study in like why wine became so sterile and boring.
Because this is sterile and boring.
Yeah.
This is also why I think Psalms take themselves so seriously, because they're doing something like this and they think that they're doctors or something, or scientists, and they're like doing a study and they're like, oh yes, I'm writing things and I am so smart.
I totally, like, as someone that writes about wine, like I really take tasting seriously. Like I really do kind of go through like, all right, now let's talk about our own like personal tasting methods. Like I go through sight, nose, and palate, and then of course obviously the Ross test, which is my own flair on things, which if you don't know about
you're probably not watching this.
Yeah, you're probably not watching this. Or listening to it. But you know, it doesn't need to be this, like, I'm not this rigid. Like, to confine, like, even the fruits, like, a red wine has, or, like, to me, it's...
Yeah. Could you imagine going into you're going into an art museum, you go to MoCA, and you're going to go look at the Rothkos, or you're going to go look at whatever their new exhibition is, and you get a deductive visual format to see whether
that made me physically uncomfortable just to think about.
To see whether or not contemporary art is good or not, or like to deduce it down to like just a couple of words. And like, imagine you're walking around the gallery, or you're walking around the museum, and you're like, blue. Mm-hmm. Oh, but it's more of a sky blue. Good paint structure, like blah, blah, blah. And then you walk away and you're like,
great triangles.
Yeah. You're like, I liked the art kind of, but it'll never be like
art.
Great.
It's really developing. I think that this, I think this artist is really developing. It's just like, to me, it's,
what the fuck is the point of blind tasting? What does it provide? What does it do?
I think that it just hones people's palates to recognize these things. And going, like I said, going back to like our sommelier episode, like it's not that these things are bad, but like to live and die by like this criteria is not a hill that I would want to die on.
God, no.
Like, to me, it's...
Could you imagine every time you taste wine, you sit there and you try and... I was in that world. I remember that. And doing that. And like, it takes all the fun out of everything.
Yeah.
It takes all the enjoyment. Wine is enjoying. It's like to enjoy.
I feel really fortunate that like I didn't ever go through all of this, because it gave me the opportunity to think about wine in so many different ways. Like, I don't think of wine as like... But also, like, again, I see the value, but I don't think that, but I also think it's like really super limiting, and it also has made wine so homogenous, you know. But also too, but here's a question, are these things part of the, like, is this a result of wine becoming more homogenous over time? Like with conventional winemaking?
Oh my God, I just had the craziest, most conspiracy theorist thought from what you just said.
What
do these get, and like do like Southern and these huge corporations work with the Court of Master Sommelier, see the things that people are saying, see the things that people are liking, and then manipulate things?
I mean, I'm sure there's something like that. I mean,
this is like an old school version of Google, like getting all your search stuff.
I don't think it goes that deep. I don't think there's like a wine deep state.
Welcome to Wine Wars.
I'm Art Bell.
No, or Alex Jones.
Yeah. But
natural wine is turning the frogs gay. Right? Doesn't he say something like that?
I don't know, but I think that there is something to be said though, that like there to me this is almost like a chicken and the egg thing. Like, what came first, like the homogenization of tasting, or the homogenization of
wine?
And while, like, I think the deep state of wine is just like Robert Parker and wine, whatever his thing is. It's not Spectator wine.
Wine advocate. I kind of have,
I almost called him wine influencer.
He is a wine. I kind of have more respect.
He's the OG wine influencer.
I have more respect for Robert Parker, just in the sense that he created
Oh, I have so much respect for Robert
this
Parker.
This independent thing on his own.
Dude, I have a ton of respect for Robert Parker. I think that he is, in a way, like an auteur that took the wine world by storm and changed it in a way that, like, filmmakers can change film or, like...
Yeah, or, like, reality television. It's like how Survivor changed television.
But that doesn't mean that I agree with the way that things changed.
No, I agree.
But Robert Parker is a person. Like, I don't have any, like... Like, I don't have any beef with Robert Parker as a human.
He's the fucking Steve Jobs of the wine world.
Yeah. Well, okay. Let's not go that far.
Let's be honest. He is.
He's Robert Parker of the wine world. He's Robert Parker. He doesn't need another person to, like... I hate when people do that. That's like when people are always like... No, they're like, oh, you want to be the Anthony Bourdain of wine. It's like, no, bitch, I want to be Marissa Ross of wine. Like, fuck y'all.
No, I get what you're saying.
Robert Parker's Robert Parker. He's also not... to compare him to... Take a lap. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Like, no one... Like, have you ever read Robert Parker's reviews on repeat? No. Come on now. Anyways, Robert Parker did something great.
Yeah, I go back to his classics.
I reread Jonathan Gold reviews.
I'm joking.
As a writer? Anyways, Robert Parker's great. I don't like how it became a part of homogenizing wine.
It just got commercialized and everyone tried to make Parkerized wines and then wine became as boring as possible.
Yeah, and like...
They all tasted the same.
And then here we have this really boring-ass fucking tasting format. That's also like...
Next time I see Nick Cotori, I'm just going to give him this when he asks him, when he asks how I liked his wine.
I'm going to hold on to it, yeah.
I'm going to give it to him and be like, this is how I liked your wine, Nick. Nick Cotori, this is it. You have it.
You
want to frame this. This is...
There you go.
And next time someone
wants to...
You
should sign it.
Yeah, I should sign it. We should send it to Nick Cotori.
We will.
And be like, this is what we thought.
Let's go over the things that you put question marks around.
So length, finish. It's something that I...
The length and finish was what, like, we really...
Prompted all of this.
Yeah, because we did a whole podcast on it that we then...
But our microphones were broken.
That we didn't... Yeah, it's a whole thing. But anyways, finish / length. Adam, what's your deal with it?
I just don't get it. I don't understand how it has any quantifiable...
But do you mean you don't...
Like, how is it quality? How does finish and length equal quality?
So question first. Okay, so you agree, though, that there is a lasting flavor that a wine can leave in your mouth?
I guess, yeah. There's things that...
For those that don't know, that's what a finish is. A finish is how long the and flavor stays in your mouth after you've sipped the wine.
Have you ever eaten dog food before?
No. Right.
A lot of little kids, you eat dog food when you're a little kid.
I never eat dog food.
Have you ever eaten something that didn't taste good?
Yeah, it's called Fritos. I mean, but they're delicious, but I understand.
You ever eaten anything you didn't, like, you were like, oh, this doesn't taste good.
I mean.
A bad oyster? Have you ever had a bad oyster?
Yeah, I mean, like, yes, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
It stays in your mouth. It's got a very long finish.
Yeah, so do Fritos.
I'm just saying that, like, it has nothing to do with the quality of something.
No.
Your bad oyster isn't good because it had a long finish.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't understand why it's considered a thing.
So I'll say that I use it in my wine writing when I'm, occasionally, when I think that it enhances the wine or enhances food around it.
Right. If the wine tastes really good...
Well, and yeah, and you, like, want that finish in your mouth.
fucking Psalms.
Or if it goes with perfect. The food.
If something ejaculates in your mouth and it's in there forever, do you, like, you're like, oh, such a long finish.
I just love this long, long finish on all this jizz in my mouth. But, like, when writing about it, like, it's either a positive thing, like, oh, like, it's nice to have it. In my mouth longer.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I just want to savor it.
Yeah, you just want to be like,
yum.
Spit it into her mouth.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Wow. We're really going for it. The rim variation really just took this in another level. But also with food though, like for example, like a really tannic dry finish, that is like consumers kind of need to know about that because that's not a wine to like drink on its own.
But isn't that just tannin? Aren't you just talking about tannin?
Yeah, that's true. It could be. Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm just saying that the way that I use finish, like the way that I personally as a wine writer.
I'm not calling you out.
I know you're not. I'm just saying that
Robert Parker's the Kanye West of wine.
No, you're not.
And you use finish. No, I know. I'm just saying that, like, for me, I just don't understand why it's been this, like, thing that, like, not you using it in your reviews of wine. I'm talking about the people who, like, oh, the
they base
wine
quality
was
based
yeah,
on
exactly. They're like, oh, that
well,
wine.
That also goes to
it
like
had my, a 90 second.
Well, that goes
finish.
To my thing. My one thing on here that I was like, what the fuck? Truly, the tearing. Because
yeah, it has nothing,
nothing to do with the quality of a wine.
No, nothing to do with anything. Like, I mean, it's the alcohol, maybe.
It's like alcohol and sugar in the way that it drips down your fucking glass. It has nothing to do with the quality of a wine. Nothing to do with it. Like a wine, like the
But maybe if you're blind tasting.
It will give you an idea
of what
it the
could
wine
be.
Is. Yeah. But like, but the problem is that translated into consumer culture where people are like, huh, but where are the legs on this wine?
The only wines I drink are the ones with long legs and long finishes.
I love my wines like I love my ladies, long legs and long finishes. I'm both
nothing.
Of those.
No woman loves it more than when you fuck them for 2 hours.
Yeah, that's totally a fave. I mean, as long as things are real. I guess they didn't have. I think that we added wet on here. Creamy? No. Anyways,
yeah. Everyone loves fucking tantric, fucking sting.
Yeah, the tearing thing though, really, that to me is like bullshit.
That's the same thing with me and Finnish. I feel like there's like, as far as consuming goes, they have nothing to do with anything. And then, they don't even need to be talked about ever, really.
I talk about Finnish.
I know you do.
But we do.
Next time you do a review, you should talk about just how the legs.
I'm just going to talk about tearing from now on. Yeah. Tearing. I love that they call it tearing. It's ridiculous. And then also, too, you have a question mark next to complexity.
Well, because complexity is something that I also don't understand because, like, to me, complexity could be something that's subjective.
I think it's very subjective.
And so I don't understand how when you're doing something like a deductive tasting format is about as far away from subjective as you can get. This is nuts. This is completely not subjective.
I would say that the complexity... just guessing would have to be a combination of the tannin, acid, alcohol, body,
so
texture,
balance.
No, yeah, all of those things.
So complexity is balance?
No, I'm saying that complexity needs to be all of those things, like to where like you have to think about the wine, like you said. And like, I personally don't love like I coined this term in Austria, like the wines that I'm drawn to are drinkable but thinkable.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Like I want something that I can just drink and have fun with, but I also like things I can think about, like if I want to. Like
it's
if
like
I,
a Marvel movie for me, to be honest.
If you, okay, fair.
I just saw Spider-Man Far From Home yesterday, and like...
Wait, is Jake Gyllenhaal in that one?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, I love him.
He's fucking hot.
Dude, I've come into a late in life, like, huge Jake Gyllenhaal fangirl situation.
I might have, too, because I was watching that movie.
He sings. He sings, and he's funny. I
was watching that movie, and I was like, oh.
I don't follow him on Instagram, because I got to keep my ratio down.
He's
but
really fucking... he's sexy man. Like, straight up. Like, you use that word. He's, like, very sexy.
I know, and he has, like, a great bod, and he's, like, very, like,
he's like a dad. He's, like, a very...
Ugh,
you know
hot.
He's not a dad, but he's, like, a
Ooh,
sexy...
I'm hot because this room is hot where we're recording, but also now that we're talking about Jake Gyllenhaal, holy moly. Anyways, so...
His sister's pretty hot, too. That's
she,
a weird
Oh, Maggie.
Say.
Maggie's great. Anyways, so overall, like, when I'm tasting wine, personally... Like I said, I go through what it looks like, I go through what it smells like, and I go through what it tastes like. But I don't like, and while I may look for, like I look for color, and I do look for like fruit in the nose and like earth and minerality and wood, and I do look for those things in the palate too, but like I do not confine myself to these by any means.
Yeah, if you, like, I try and like put myself in the position of somebody who's like working the floor of a wine store. And you get somebody who comes in. Are you using really any of these terms really at all to like talk about or discuss the wine that you're selling somebody? Are you going to talk about the color, the clarity? Are you going to talk about like the eight? Like are any of the things on here really going to ever come up in a conversation with
a
consumer?
I think that dryness, like I think that the palate stuff comes up a lot.
Maybe, right. If you're like,
if you're explaining something to a consumer, like, I mean, I'll be like at Psychic Wines writing, and then I'll like be helping a customer, and I'm like, "Yeah, this is like a dry wine."
You're
like
use four words.
Yeah, exactly.
This is a light red.
This is a light red that's fruit forward. It's full of like fucking raspberry. Like,
yeah,
you're not
very little though.
Yeah, you're not gonna really be no
you're
one's.
Gonna,
No one's using medium plus or medium minus.
But also, no one's. You're not talking about like the texture, the balance. You're not talking about the tearing.
Definitely not. I sometimes say something's well balanced or complex.
Yeah. Maybe, I guess. I don't know.
You've been out of the game for a minute, you know? Like, you just podcast and make wine, so...
I'm just saying that, like, I feel like there's an aspect of it that is just, like, a little... It's just a little pretentious, I guess is all I'm saying.
But we already knew that, you know? Like, we already knew
that. I was hoping that we would do this and it would be like, actually, that was really fun and I liked that and I want
to
do this again.
To me, this is just, like, really...
I wouldn't want to do this again.
No, because to me, this is just really limiting. And to know that, like, someone would normally be grading it is, like, terrifying.
It's also really kind of fucking easy.
Yeah, I guess if you, yeah, it is.
Like, all the options are there.
All the options are there. But I think that this is like a, like, I think that when you have to do the actual test, you don't.
Oh, you don't get the words.
You don't get the words.
Oh, you gotta memorize 100 words. Oh, fuck. Oh, Jesus.
For some people, that's
100 words?
I've
said this before, and I'm gonna say this again.
We didn't know turbid.
I'm calling you out. I will challenge any psalm to a blind taste off. Any time, you name the time, anytime, anywhere, I'll be there. I will challenge you to a blind taste off.
I'll just be there to film it.
It'd be amazing. I think I would kick ass.
You're really good at this, though.
I think I would be able to beat, I know I didn't get Pinot Noir, but I will say this is a little atypical. I definitely think that I'd be able to beat anybody.
Well, the thing, though, is with, like, blind tastings, like, that's the thing with natural wines is that, like, they all, like, most of them are atypical. Like, it's really hard to blind test them.
That's what I think would make me really good at this.
I know, yeah.
Is that, like...
But also, too, it's, like, it's funny because, like, the reason I also think I'd be good at that is because, like, if you were blind tasting conventional wines, we definitely know what those taste...
Oh, that's what I'm saying, yeah. It's like going from, like, driving on ice to driving on dry land. You're like, oh, this is easy.
Easy,
I can
yeah.
do this.
Yeah. So, overall, yeah, we did it.
Yeah, I'm not impressed, sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't
the
very...
wine. I am. I like
the wine.
The wine
is great, but like the actual like going through this
is boring.
It's just boring. It kind of sucks. I hope that everyone else wasn't
like,
bored.
I was. Oh yeah, I'm like, God, this is so boring.
We're like, this
anyway,
is the most boring
like
podcast.
And subscribe, follow us.
Yeah. We'll see you next time.
Yeah. All right. Love you guys.
We'll try not to be boring.
Yeah.
All right. Bye.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.